positions you, then we're good. Are we faith-filled? Are we ready to learn how to grow in faith? Yeah? Incredible. Well, thank you so much for your standing ovation. I really appreciate it. Why don't we just give one more moment to praise the one who's truly worthy of our applause, who's really worthy of our praise, the King, the one and only Lord, our Savior, our Master, the good and holy one. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. We lift you up. We say that you're glorious, you're holy, you're majestic, you're kind, you're loving. We honor you in this place today. Thank you, God. Why don't you smile at someone as you take your seat? Give them a big grin. Well, it is my privilege to be here with you today. My name is Sydney. If you don't know me, here I am. Hello, welcome. If it's your first time, I just want to give you a warm welcome and say we're so glad that you're here. I can't wait for you to like hang out with everyone in the Connect time. You're going to make your best friends tonight. You're going to find family here. But before we get to that, I'm going to share some really cool things. Is that okay? Awesome. Why don't we thank the band? Thanks, guys. You've done a phenomenal job. I'll call you back up later. But we're going to get straight on in because I have all sorts of things to say and we haven't got a whole lot of time. And so if you're writing notes, get your phone out and write this down. The title of my message today is How to Grow in Faith. Who here wants to learn how to grow in faith? Me too. Well, good news is that's everything that this message is about. When I was praying into this term, I kept on seeing a picture in my mind's eye. And the picture that I saw, as you can see, I've got some props. Who here loves a prop? Any visual learners in the room? How good's that? I never use them, so it's all for you. I had this picture in my mind, and the reason I've got two different weights is because I'm not that strong, so I wasn't sure if I'd be able to cope with the big one. So I'm going to give it a go, and if it fails, we've got option two. And so the picture that I saw in my mind's eye was this happening. Oh my goodness. Do you know what? Is there any strong man? No, I'm kidding. I'm just going to get someone to actually model it. Oh my gosh, this is so heavy. I think it's... Oh, that's so embarrassing. It says 2.5 kilos on this one. Okay, all right. So that's the image that I saw in my mind's eye. And what I felt that picture to mean was that there was a strengthening happening to us as nations, youth, as individuals, and as a congregation. And this strengthening, I believe, is to our faith. Someone say faith. Now, just as our muscles grow when we work them out, when we exercise in faith, I want to suggest tonight that the same is true for our faith. And so I believe that tonight, as I bring this message, I pray that God would speak to you and equip you to grow in the realm of faith. Why don't you close your eyes? We're going to pray. God, I thank you that your word is full of treasure and that as we pursue and as we dig into it, we can uncover precious ideas and revelations, knowledge and insight, understanding that's far more valuable than the wealth of this world. And so I pray that tonight as I speak, that you would help me to unearth truths that are hidden in your word that would equip us as a people to be able to live out the life of faith. I pray that even beyond what I say, I pray that as I read scripture, people would hear the words that I say and that the revelation of Christ would be highlighted and revealed to people in the room. That you would speak to every problem, every area of need, every area where is weak in faith, we pray for strength in Jesus' name. We pray this all now in your mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Oh my gosh, my arm's already tired. I have a sore arm tomorrow. So, something that I've noticed is that when we face situations that are really hard, like let's say we've been believing for something to happen and then we face an obstacle along the way. Often it's in those environments that we feel as if where we started strong in faith, we are now kind of wavering. We're now a bit weak. We're now a bit weary. We're now a bit confused. We're now a bit disappointed. Something I've noticed is often when difficulties and hardships come, we can actually feel like this thing is not helpful. This thing's actually harmful. We can actually feel like those troubles, those hardships are things that have the potential to destroy our faith rather than build it. Has anyone here ever gone through a difficulty and you've just felt like, man, I've believed and I've had faith, but this thing has just taken me out. This thing is like, you know, I was believing for a miracle at Night of Miracles last week. I came, prayed and fasted. I believed. I've stood in faith for years for that person to come to faith. I've stood in faith for years to see my broken body healed. I've stood in faith for years to see addiction broken off of my life. And yet still here I am. We face difficulties, troubles, and in the context of them, they can feel like our enemy. And I want to talk about that tonight. Because I believe that the very thing that we can perceive as an obstacle is the very vehicle the Lord wants to use to grow and develop our faith. We're going to start reading from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, say any kind, come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when endurance is fully developed, you will be complete, perfect, needing nothing. This scripture is actually saying that troubles and trials help our faith. It reveals that they are the necessary ingredient in the context of being able to grow in faith. That if you want to advance and you want to strengthen and you want to mature in faith and belief for God to do the miraculous, God's way of giving that ability to you is to provide you with troubles and hardships. When we view troubles through the lens that they are a problem to avoid rather than a necessary part of the process of growing in faith, that is a problem. And I believe that tonight God is changing people's minds. He is changing people's perspectives. He's shifting how we interact with the very problem of troubles. And so I want to talk about what the process is supposed to look like whenever we come into contact with a trouble. Because if you haven't been through one yet, let me tell you, there is one awaiting. There will be a day, there will be a time where there's something, maybe you've got fresh faith for something and it hasn't been tested yet. Bless you. And I really pray that the other side will be the miracle that you've believed for. But if you're anything like me, there are times where I have faith in my heart for something and there's a journey to getting there. And so tonight I want to equip you on the journey. Is that okay? And so, I actually just don't think I can do the big one, guys. Is that okay? Is this a judgment-free zone? Oh, do you reckon? Oh my gosh, I'm already hurting. Okay, so, as we're witnessing right now, Matt tells me off all the time. He's like, Sydney, you need to exercise, otherwise you're going to be old and decrepit. But I don't listen to him. And so here's me doing my first workout. I know. Thank you. Thank you. This is just the encouragement I need to start. I eat really healthy, though. That's an advantage I have of my health that I would say I surpass my husband in. I know. Yep, it is a competition. And so when we first start working out, who here knows that, shiver me timbers, it's really difficult and like really painful and we don't have the capacity to do it for long. You're witnessing this firsthand. What do they call that thing? Oh my gosh, that one was too much. The Oh, I can't remember what you call it. You know when you're supposed to like stand in a certain way? Eh? Your form! Yes! My form's all off. But we're going to get it right with this one, aren't we? Hey! That is way more manageable. And so this could even be a great example of when our faith hasn't been tested, it's weak. It doesn't have the capacity to carry heavy weights. It only has the capacity to actually face and endure through smaller level troubles and trials. Now, the thing is, when I'm doing these weights, it is work. It can be painful. On the other side of starting to work out, let me tell you, I'm going to be sore. Now, the reason I'm saying this out loud is because the same is true for our faith. That when we face troubles, when we face difficulties, we are essentially, we're exercising our faith. When we choose to stay engaged, when that time comes where you didn't get healed on that night that you thought you would, and you start speaking in your bedroom, no, I thank you, God, that it says that the wounds, they still work today? That you actually start speaking the worship songs that have you been prophesying in the secret place. When that family member starts to tell you they're never coming back to church again, you begin to actually remember the dream that you had where they were worshiping the Lord and you begin to hold on it. What you're doing in those moments is you're actually exercising your faith. And when you exercise, what happens? It grows. It grows. Thanks for that, guys. I feel like we're a little family having a little fun time together. And so that's why the scripture actually says, consider it pure joy when troubles come your way. Why? Because it's an opportunity for you to grow. It's actually an opportunity for you to engage with your faith. It's not something to put down and run away from. It's something to pick up and engage with. The problem is many of us have viewed troubles incorrectly. We have, instead of seeing them as something that can strengthen us, we've seen them something that can damage us. Naturally, when we view it this way, we avoid it. We avoid it. We don't want it. We reject it. We cry about it. We say, God, why me? Instead of it feeling productive like a workout, it can feel destructive like a punch in the face. I think there's people in this room and we have misunderstood the pain we're experiencing. We've seen it as something that shouldn't be happening. It's bad, it's wrong. Like someone punching you in the face. That's not a good kind of pain. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if your faith has been challenged, I want to invite you into the understanding that it isn't God trying to punch you in the face. It is actually an opportunity for you to pick up the weight, for you to pick up the opportunity to be able to grow and develop and exercise your faith for the sake of it being strengthened. That change of thinking alone is a breakthrough for someone in this room. To be able to see what you're going through, not as God pointing the finger at you or God abandoning you, but actually the Lord providing you with such an opportunity to strengthen and develop and transform you. How good is our God? How faithful is He? So instead of running from them, we need to run to them. To them. Just as it would be foolish to expect that our muscles would grow if we ran away from the gym, which I have done, and I am not strong. So it is foolish to think that our faith can grow if we run away from troubles and trials. Now, let me be clear about something. I am not saying that you go looking for a hard time. This isn't about searching for how can I go through something difficult so that I can be stronger in faith. I'm also not saying that it's easy to go through them. I don't want to dismiss the difficulty of experiencing hardship. Disappointment hurts. Sin should actually grieve us. But I want to say, what I am saying is that when we understand what their purpose is, we can handle them how God designed us to. Troubles are not our enemy. They are the tool God uses to grow our faith. But the truth is, even though that is the vehicle to grow, it's not automatic. Just because we face a trouble in our faith does not mean that we will automatically grow from it. It says in the scripture that there is an opportunity for endurance to develop. Not that it will develop. And it says, so let it grow, but only if you've chosen to take the opportunity can that outcome of growth be a potential. And so troubles give us an opportunity. We can choose to exercise our faith, or we can choose to disengage our faith. Just like picking up a weight or putting it down, the reality is when we choose to tap out, when we choose to stop engaging in our faith, we stunt our growth. But the best thing is, if you keep going, your faith gets strengthened. I think Celine's laughing at me. Guys, can I just have a confession? So like, I know, little side hustle, cut it on the online. So like tonight when I was, so I wrote out all my sermon notes, but I only got to edit half of them to make sense. And so we're at that point now where it's not quite sure where we're going to end up. But all the notes are here. It's just like, I'm a bit of a color code kind of bold caps girl. And so it's not really like that now. And so the content's in here. It might not be the most eloquent out here. Is that okay? Fantastic. Incredible. Okay, well, we're going to move on. So what we're going to talk about, I've kind of really gotten to the point, you all understand now the imperative nature of going through troubles to strengthen your faith and how they're not an enemy, they're something that's really good, although they're hard. And so we're going to talk tonight about two obstacles that I have noticed, I have seen, get in the way of people growing in faith. And so the first thing we're actually going to talk about, and we're going to talk about how to overcome them, the number one area that I have seen take people out and prevent them from growing in faith is doubt. Doubt. I know we've already talked about it this term, but I want to actually emphasize it again because it is a faith killer. It is something that weaves its way in and prevents us from growing in the full measure that the Lord would have us in our faith. And so I want to quickly jump back into the passage in James chapter 1, which is right after what we just read. So this is like essentially it's in the same passage, same context. It's essentially the next thought on, okay, so yep, consider troubles a good thing because it has an opportunity to grow your faith. Now what? We're going to drop in. Verse 5-8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Say in faith. With no doubting. Say no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Sheesh, that is a bit of a harsh scripture to read if you actually look at it. So what it tells us to do in the context of our trials, number one thing it does say is to ask God for wisdom. So if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God for it. He'll give it to you generously. He's not going to shame you for asking. But there is a condition attached to it. The condition is do not doubt. Because if you do doubt, don't expect to receive anything. So it's saying, I will give you wisdom only if you don't doubt. Why does he say that? Well, the NLT puts it like this. Do not waver, meaning doubt, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Now, I want to actually focus on that phrase, divided loyalty. What that actually means is to have your heart split into more than one place. Has anyone ever had it where there's been a party on of one of your friends, and then randomly you get another invitation to another friend whose birthday, and they're deciding that they're going to have a party on the exact same night as your other friend. And you're like, what the heck? Like, what am I supposed to do? I want to go to both of these parties. They're both my friends. I care about both of them. I'm connected to both of them. I'm engaged with both of them. I can't, but the problem is, I can't be at both of them at the same time. That's what a divided loyalty is. Is having two places. You want to be here, but you want to be there. And how do I do it? And the thing is, you actually could go, like you could compromise and you could say, okay, I'm going to go for half of the night here. And then I'm going to go to half the night over at the other house. And then, you know, 50-50, done a good job. The thing is, if you do that, you still have missed out on the fullness of what was available at either option that you were going to. Now, if you're not connecting the dots, what this is talking about is that when there are divided loyalties, it's talking in the context of faith and doubt. It is saying that you cannot, you should not have divided loyalty between faith and doubt. The two should not coexist. The two should not share your heart. There should be only one choice that you decide to engage with, and that should be faith. Why? Because you can't give yourself to two things at the same time. We're talking about growing in faith. We're talking about picking up and engaging when we're in the face of troubles. Let's talk about this. This weight here represents the troubles that we face. And this arm, we're going to say my left arm, it's my strongest arm, left-handers. My left arm represents faith. If I'm engaging with faith and exercising it, it has the opportunity to grow. However, if I end up hearing some voices of doubt coming in, some voices that might say, it's never going to happen for you. It's your fault that you haven't been healed. Maybe God's never going to come through for you how you thought he would. Maybe God's punishing you. Or maybe it's not God's will, that thing you're believing for. I don't think he wants it. What happens is you pick up that trouble, that weight that is supposed to develop strength in your arm of faith, begins to strengthen and work out your arm of doubt. It begins to compete with your faith. It begins to try and outweigh. It starts to try and get your attention more. Yeah, look at me. Come and engage with me. I'm going to be helpful. I'm the truth. And it will try to convince you out of the promises of God. And then what happens? We become unsettled. We become unstable in all of our ways. Our faith is not able to grow. It's stunted because of doubt. So number one problem, doubt. We need to get rid of that thing. Who here wants to get rid of it? Me too. Well, let me tell you, I've got a solution. Woohoo! Incredible. And so in Hebrews 12:1, it says, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. This verse highlights the need to strip off anything that is going to slow us down in growing in the muscle of faith. Who knows that doubt definitely slows us down in being able to grow in faith. And so what is it saying? It's giving us an instruction. It's actually saying to strip it off. What does that mean? That means that if it needs to be stripped off, it's actually already on. I'm wearing a jacket right now. I'm wearing it. It's on me. And if I was to strip it off, I'd have to become firstly aware that I'm wearing it. And secondly, I'd have to actively actually choose to do it. The same is true with doubt. The way to get rid of doubt is not to put it back on and to evaluate it. Oh, why do you have that? What, you know, what's underneath that? You know, I get really, I'm not saying don't search your heart, like we need to present our hearts before the Lord. However, in order to deal with doubt, it's not something to explore, it is something to get rid of. It is something to strip off. It is something to remove. It is something to detach yourself from. It's something to walk the other direction from. It is not something to go toward. It is something to remove. Doubt is not something we are supposed to interact with and look at and examine. It is something we are supposed to strip off because it is something that slows us down. We actually see Jesus example this when we read the story about Jairus and his daughter. In Mark 35, Jairus' daughter was about to die. And in the moment before they were able to get to the house where she was dying, there were messengers sent. And there was the people literally said to him, I'm going to read it, your daughter is dead, don't trouble the teacher anymore. In other words, there's no point believing for a miracle. There's no use having faith, nothing's going to change. You shouldn't bother believing any longer. It was in that moment that Jairus was face to face with doubt. Thankfully, it says straight after in Mark 5:36, but Jesus overheard them. And he said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. Jesus's immediate response to doubt, what was it? It was to not engage with it. Don't look at it. He didn't even acknowledge what had been said. Instead, he spoke to him and he said, just have faith. What does that mean? We don't pick up the doubt arm and look at it. What we do is we pick up the faith arm again and we strengthen it. Jesus didn't say, let's analyze the doubt. Let's unpack the reasons you might feel this way. Of course you're doubting. It's a really hard situation. No, his strategy was to disregard it. And I believe that we need to take the same posture today. That when they try to clothe us, those thoughts of doubt, we say no. We say that that is not what God has spoken. We begin declaring the word of God. We begin saying that Jesus has commanded me to have faith and I will obey only him. And every time that we reject doubt, what we're doing is we are again picking up and exercising our faith, seeing it developed, matured, lacking no good thing. Is this helpful? Great, so the first obstacle to growing in faith is doubt, and the second and last obstacle is weariness. Say weariness. Now, weariness is something that we all will experience at some point in some way. What I mean by that is it's a human experience to get tired. When we're fighting something in faith for like a really long time or we go through a lot of stuff, naturally we get a bit exhausted. We feel a bit tired. Now, it's important to say that it's not wrong. It's not bad. It's not sinful. It's not even a failure of your faith if you're feeling tired. We all feel that way at some point. But even though weariness in and of itself isn't a bad thing and isn't in itself an obstacle to growing in faith, it has the potential to lead to that. The real problem with weariness is that it can lead to giving up. It says just below where it taught, literally the verse we just read about stripping off every weight, the next verse says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarded its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. This verse shows us that Jesus endured so much. He endured the cross. He endured immense suffering. He endured hostility, meaning people treated him terribly for a long period of time. Yet, he didn't give up. This verse literally tells us to remember that, to look at that, to think upon that example that we have, because it's literally saying that Jesus did it so that we can too. It's essentially, it's not saying you can avoid weariness. What it's saying is that we don't have to allow weariness to cause us to give up. I'm sure at times Jesus was exhausted. The day before, or the day of his reckoning, when he had to go to the cross, he was sweating blood, tears. He stayed up all night. All of his disciples fell asleep. He must have been exhausted. He must have been weary. But he never gave up. And I believe tonight, the word to you is that there is enough grace for you. If you just hang on in, if you just don't give up, if you just stay the course, you'll see the faithfulness of God. The problem with weariness is that if it goes unchecked, it ends up sounding like this: I can't do it anymore. It's been too long. Nothing has changed. Maybe it's never going to change. I don't think I have the faith needed to see this thing through. It's essentially saying, just stop having faith. Stop believing, stop praying, stop hoping, stop expecting. And when we allow these thoughts that enter in through weariness, there is the temptation to disengage from faith altogether. If, I know I've done this 100 times and I'm going to be sore tomorrow, but if exercising our faith looks like picking up the weight, then giving up looks like putting it down. It's not wrestling with faith anymore. It's not pushing through the difficulty or enduring. It's not choosing to keep believing. It's not choosing to continue to trust in God. And the problem is, when we put down our faith in any given area, we cannot grow. It's impossible. Just like if I stopped right now, there's an impossibility of me getting any stronger. So how do we keep going when we're weary? Well, it says in Hebrews 12:12-13, so take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. This is weariness language. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. This scripture is showing us the strategy for when we feel weak, when we're tired, when we're weary. And that strategy is to mark out a straight path. Why do we do that? We mark out a straight path, it said, so that the weak areas might become strong. The solution to staying in faith is actually to mark out a path. Now, what does that mean? Well, when I think about marking out a straight path, I think of primary school and cones being put on a track so that everyone knows where to go when they're running. Those markers bring clarity to the way forward. They make the pathway straight. Their purpose is actually to help people stay on track so that when they're tired, when they're running for a long time and they're unsure of where to go, they feel like they might be drifting off course, the markers are there to guide them. The markers are intentionally put out ahead of time. They're not an afterthought or in the moment when people are falling apart as they're running a marathon. No, they are put ahead of time so that people know where to go. The same is true for our faith. In order for us to be able to make the course, we ourselves need to mark out a straight path. And so I'm going to quickly give you 3 different steps as to how you can mark out a straight path for your feet. And this actually comes through the story of Jairus, where it says, but Jesus overheard what they were saying and said to the leader, don't be afraid, just have faith. Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John. The first step that we see in this scripture to mark out a straight path is to remove the obstacles that you can. We see that Jesus actually removed people. He stopped the crowd and wouldn't let them come. Why? Because they were contributing to the things that were getting in the way of faith. Now, there are things in our lives, maybe as apps on our phones, devices in our rooms at night, reading certain types of books, watching certain movies, whatever it might be, there are obstacles that we actually need to remove from our perspective and our lives so that we can mark out the journey of faith. The second thing we can do is involve faith people. We see that Jesus, as much as he didn't let certain people come, he actually chose specific people in Peter, James, and John. Why? Because they had the faith required to walk with Jesus to see the miraculous take place. There are people in your world, whether it's a leader, whether it's a friend, that the Lord has put into your life, in your surrounding, to provide you with the strength that you need to be able to see the fulfillment of what you are believing for. This is not a heroic thing to do it on your own and to suffer in isolation. The Lord, even Jesus, brought faith people along with him for the journey ahead. And the third thing to mark out a straight path for yourself is to hold on to God's word. Jairus had to hold on to what Jesus said to him. Don't be afraid, just have faith. We need to hold on to what he has spoken, whether it's through scripture, whether there was a dream that was had, whether a prophetic word was given. We need to be diligent to steward what God has spoken. We need to hold to his word. Make a note where you have everything laid out for you so that in the hard times you can refer back to it. It's a marker that you can go to when you want to fall astray and you want to fall into doubt. You have that right there that you can access in the moment where you're running the race of faith. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Why doesn't everyone stand to their feet? Maybe you've been in this room and you've been hearing me share. And as I'm talking about faith and the walk of faith, you don't even really understand what that means because you don't have a relationship with God. You've never believed for something specific from God because you don't know him. Right now in this room, I want everyone to close your eyes. And if you know that that is you and you need to get into a right relationship with God, I just want to quickly tell you that Jesus loves you and that he actually died for you to take away the punishment of your sins so that you could come back into relationship with him and be forgiven. It says that not only did he die, but he rose again from the dead, meaning that we could all have a brand new life just as he rose to a new life. And so if you want to accept Jesus into your heart, I'm just looking across this room right now, and if you would be so brave just to put your hand up, and we're going to say a prayer together to invite Jesus into your life. Is that anybody right now? I'm just looking from the left to the right. You need to get right with Jesus. I want you just to raise your hand, signal to me, and we will say a quick prayer together. Is that anyone? Just a few more seconds. Yeah, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? And you know in your heart that what I've been talking about, something's been awakening inside of you, you can't quite put words to it. I'm going to give you one more moment, just looking from the left to the right. If that's you, why don't you quickly raise your hand? Say a quick prayer together. Why doesn't everybody repeat after me? Dear God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. And I pray you would forgive me of my sin and you would give me a brand new life in you. Come and be my best friend. Come into my life, I pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Why don't you praise God? We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, God.